Good morning. The Lord be with you. For some of us, some of you guys don't know me, my name is Kim. I am a seminary student. I used to pastor a church in Singapore. So in any of the nativity scene, we happen to have one here, we often find Mary, baby Jesus, and the shepherd, and Magi. Now, if this were a school play, all of those people have different roles, either praising God or offering gifts to baby Jesus. Mary doesn't usually have a line, but she's the one who holds and rocks the baby Jesus. Throughout history, there are millions of songs and paintings. We happen to sing a few this morning about Mary and baby Jesus. But we are missing somebody. Joseph. Where is Joseph in the story? Well, I guess in a school play, whoever gets Joseph gets the easiest part, because you just have to show up and be there, apart from those ones who dress up like the little sheep over there. The song we sing is Silent Night, has a line said, round your virgin mother and child. We never sing round your virgin father and child. But why? Now, pretty much throughout all of the four Gospels, there are very little words written about Joseph. He's like background. There he is, background. He's there, but he's always silent. Now, today's scripture that we just read does Joseph some justice. This is his moment under the spotlight. Now, initially, I want to name my sermon title, The Gospel According to Joseph, but I don't want to be crucified of speaking heresy, and I still have a seminary degree, wanted to graduate, and there happen to be some my classmates and professors in the audience, in the congregation, so I turned down a little bit, and I named it The Good News According to Joseph. So today is Joseph's account about the birth of Jesus, which is the good news. So now let's set the stage for Joseph. The people of Israel has been waiting for a savior for about 400 years. Now, 400 years is a super long season of Advent. People, we've been doing 5 weeks, the candles, 5 weeks. The Israelites been waiting for 400 years. Now, finally, Joseph received a revelation from God asking him to take Mary, who was pregnant at that time, to be his wife. Pastor Andrew preached on this last week, and we know how awkward Joseph's position was. But nevertheless, he obeyed God and took Mary as his wife. I bet Joseph had a lot of expectation on this child. Well, because God has told him, this child is the savior that you've been waiting for, and he will save his people from their sins. Now, if a school teacher tells you your child has special talent in this or that area, I bet you most Asian parents, I can't speak for all culture, Asian parents will have very high expectations for that particular child. What more if God tells you so? Now, Joseph definitely had very high expectation on this baby. You know, maybe he was born with some special gifts, with talents, special power. You see, when Jesus was born, a group of strangers showed up at the door and offered them very expensive gifts. And they even knelt down and worshiped the baby Jesus. Surely there's something very promising about this baby. Is this the good news of Joseph, though? No, not at all. Let's look at verse 13 to 14. When the wise men had left Joseph had a dream. In the dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you so to come back. Herod is going to search the child. He wants to kill him." So Joseph got up. During the night, he left for Egypt with the child and his mother Mary. Now, Joseph didn't have time to fantasize how is he going to spend the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh before he was warned by God in a dream to run for his life. Well, strictly speaking, it was to run for the life of his, for the life of baby Jesus, because Herod only wants to kill the baby Jesus. It is interesting to notice that whenever the strict scripture talk about baby Jesus and his mother Mary, this phrase is always used, the child and his mother. Now, this phrase is mentioned four times in today's scripture. We have husbands sitting here in the congregation. I strongly recommend, lovingly suggest to you that when your wife gives birth to your son, never call them the child and his mother, as if there's nothing to do with you. Now, precisely this is the point. Joseph, this phrase, the child and his mother, is like a painful reminder of Joseph that his wife was pregnant before she married him. The good news of birth of Jesus is not such a good news to Joseph. And it only gets worse. The very night when Joseph dreamed about the angel of the Lord, he had to give up everything. He didn't have time to say goodbye to his families or friends. He didn't have time to settle his job or even pack the things that he needed from his house. He had to flee to Egypt. Now, Egypt is the traditional place when Jewish people run into trouble. In Palestine, they flee to Egypt for refuge. The distance from Bethlehem to Egypt is about 300 miles. Now, I've checked on Google Maps. It's about the distance from here to Detroit and come back. And according to Google Maps, by walking, it will take 100 hours. Much longer if you have to travel with baby and everything on the donkey. So when Joseph woke up from the dream, they left immediately. The scripture said they left during the night. Now, what we imagine today, what we think today, the nativity, the first Christmas, about the cozy, warm manger, bride, baby Jesus sleeping peacefully, Mary is watching, angels singing. In reality, it's just a young man taking his family running for their lives in the cold night and not knowing where life is leading them. The good news according to Joseph is not good at all. Not only for Joseph, the good news of Christ's birth brought terrible news to all the other babies or baby boys in Bethlehem and its surrounding villages. Verse 16, Herod realized that the wise men had tricked him, so he became very angry. He gave orders about Bethlehem and the area around it. He ordered all the boys 2 years old and under to be killed. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ has indirectly caused death to many innocent babies. Scholars believe the number of babies being killed by Herod is about 20. It may not seem to be a very big number to us today, but think of the families that torn apart because of this. Think of their mothers who carried the baby 10 months in their body, in their womb, who endured the labor pain, and finally delivered a healthy, safe baby, all of a sudden, it's all gone. No wonder the scripture said, they refused to be comforted, for their children are no more. Dear friends, when we come and celebrate Christmas, the joy of Christmas, with laughters, with songs, do we hear a distant sound of mothers weeping for the death of their children? The good news of Joseph is not good news at all. Joseph stayed in Egypt until the death of Herod. Then the angel of the Lord appeared again and asked him to go back to the land of Israel. Verse 21 said, "So Joseph got up, he took the child and his mother back to the land of Israel. But then he heard that Archelaus was king of Judea, and this made Joseph afraid to go there. Joseph had been warned in a dream, so he went back to the land of Galilee instead." It's been about 2 years since they settled in Egypt. Now it's time to relocate again. What is in front of there is another uncertainty. Once again, Joseph had to pack up everything, quit his job, say goodbye to his new friends, neighbors, and set off for an unknown future. Initially, they were going to go back to Judea, but he was afraid of the new king. So instead, he went to a small village in Galilee by the name of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is not as famous as it is today. It's not a tourist attraction as it is today. In the first century, Nazareth is nowhere. In fact, this name, this place, is never ever mentioned in the Old Testament or any of the writings during the Old Testament time. Scholars said Nazareth has about 200 residents, the size even smaller than our church. It's such a small village, so insignificant that people often just despise that. That's why one of the 12 disciples, Nathanael, when he met Jesus, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Is there anything good from there?" But Joseph followed God's leading, and he settled there. This is the place where Jesus grew up. I'm not sure how Joseph would think about Jesus right now by this time. Well, it makes more sense if they were to settle in a bigger city like Jerusalem or even Bethlehem, because those are the promising places that you would expect a savior or a king or even or just like a Jewish leader. Instead, these settled in Nazareth. Who would think of Nazareth? Now, as far as the scripture says, this is where the story ended. The good news of Christ's birth has brought nothing but bad news to Joseph. First, the pregnancy of his fiancée. Then, death order from the king. Then living as a refugee, forsaking everything in a pagan country, not knowing where the future holds. Then finally settled in a place that everybody despised. My friends, the good news according to Joseph seems to be very, very different than the good news that we are familiar with today. Everything in the story about first Christmas is just so anticlimax. Now, Christmas today means family reunion, dinners, gift exchange, feasting, going shopping, attending children play about the of the nativity story, coming to church, attending, participating in many beautiful services. We are too used to the 21st century celebration of Christmas that the first century Christmas story seems so far away, so distant, so foreign that we didn't even know what shall we do about it. What is the good news at first Christmas? Now, if you've been following the scripture You notice that I have purposely left out some verses. Those are the verses of the fulfillment of prophecies. Verse 15. So the words of the Lord has spoken through the prophet came true. 17. In this way, the words Jeremiah, the prophet spoke, came true. Verse 23. So what the prophet had said about Jesus came true. It is very clear that God is behind the scene. Even in the smallest detail, God had spoken about the first Christmas long ago. He knew it will not be silent night. He knew it will not always be angels we have heard on high, glory to God in the highest. God didn't give the prophecy just to warn us that the first Christmas is going to be messy. The prophecies are there to affirm us that despite of all this messiness, that God has a plan to save us. He had a plan to save Joseph, his family. God protected him. God revealed himself four times in a dream, in Joseph's dream, to give Joseph very specific instructions. He has given Joseph enough faith to believe and follow God. Now, the faith that made Joseph so convinced to follow God's call and give up everything that he had in Israel to run to Egypt, the faith is a gift from God. Dear sister brothers, the faith that you and I have is a gift, initially is a gift from God. Joseph had no idea that his obedience had brought forth fulfillment of many prophecies and thus accomplished God's ultimate plan to save our entire human being. Joseph had no idea what happened at the first Christmas, the warnings, death of other babies, escape to Egypt. All of these unfortunate events can become the beginning of the good news of human history. The good news, according to Joseph, is not meant to be good news, so that it can be good news to us today. God the Son, second person in Trinity, Christ, incarnated and became a helpless baby. The King of Kings became so lowly that he needs protection from a teenager couple. This is how our good news started. It started when this young family settled in a despised little village, Nazareth. It started when they traveled 300 miles, covered in dust with cracked skin and empty water bottles. It started in the middle of the night when they hurried and fled from Bethlehem. This is how our good news started. Now, many of us sitting here at BES have had tough experiences. You can resonate with Joseph. You know how it feels to be separated from your family, from your people, your food, your worship music, your language, your job. I mean, US is a good country, but there are a lot of uncertainties in life. I feel very honored to worship with this congregation for the past year and a half, because here, this congregation provides a better reality of Christian life. Despite of all the hardship, we believe God. Each week, there are so many prayer requests, and yet, week after week, we come back here praising God and thanking God, for he has answered our prayers. For God has transformed our bad news into good news. So at Christmas, we not only celebrate the good things, the goodness of life, but also we find strength. We find strength to embrace all the difficulties, all the not so good things in life. I want to end with a very interesting observation. We know that today's scripture is all about Joseph and his dreams. Now, the scripture has been very explicit that Joseph got all the instructions through his dream. There is another Joseph who dreamed in the Old Testament. We know that the book of Matthew is written for Jews. So those are the people who are very, very familiar with the Old Testament. Now, for the first century Jews, when you put the words Joseph, dream, together, immediately in their head, they can think of the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Now, that Joseph happened to also have to go to Egypt. He was forced to stay in Egypt. We know how that story ended. Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph told his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good." Dear friends, the good news according to Joseph does not seem to be good news to us, but God has the power to overturn evil intent to divine blessings. And that's the spirit that initiates the first Christmas. That's the true beauty of Christmas. Joseph had no idea that we're going to celebrate Christmas today this way. And likewise, you and I probably have no idea that someday down the track, we will be able to celebrate the difficulties of our life because God has turned them into divine blessings. And it all starts from here. It all starts here. Christmas is only the beginning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.